each of you this morning in the precious name of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've enjoyed being here and worshiping with you this morning on a Sunday morning. It doesn't seem like it's been real long since I was here for Sunday evening, but I'm privileged to come back again and to share with you. I invite you to turn with me for a message this morning to Matthew chapter 16, to read a few verses here, verses 13 to 20, and draw a message from this. We are privileged this morning to meet together as a group of believers. I'd like to look at this morning. We're gathered together in church. And the title of the message this morning is, I Will Build My Church. It's words of Jesus taken from this portion. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. We'll stop reading there. Text verse, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus says to Peter, And upon this rock, and then Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build my church. Many of us have gone to church, have come to church ever since, well, before we can even remember. Many of us, maybe not all of us, and that doesn't matter. What matters this morning is that if we are part, we've come to the age where we sense our guilt before God, and we come to the age where we have found an answer to the sin problem, the question of sin, and the answer to the guilt, and we accepted Jesus Christ and then become part of the church. And I love the church. I love being able to go to church, body of believers. So some thoughts and introduction. Every structure, no matter how large or small, thinking of buildings now, and we could think of organizations or however, whatever you want to think of in your mind, is built by the hands of the builder or a group of men. There may be a general contractor who subs out some of the work to other subcontractors, but the work is done by the hands of the builders. At the entrance of a building site, you may notice a large sign that says, Future Home of so-and-so. And on that sign, in addition to that, there will be the name of the builder. Why? Businesses, there's recognition to who is doing the work and who is doing the building. Close to where I work, the last year, there was a large building that went up, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a large building, and yes, on the sign with the name of the builder. the church, Jesus says, he will build his church. The name of the builder. Businesses are built as the owner or founder wisely manages his assets and investments and expands wisely. He's delegating leadership responsibilities to others. We'd like to notice in this message of four, I have 4 points. There are many more that could be taken, but I have 4 points I'd like to notice here in just a bit. How is Jesus building his church today? How does he build his church? First of all, what is meant by the word? What is the definition of the word church? You Bible scholars know this, but it's good for us to think about it. The Greek word is ekklesia. What does this mean? This word means that Jesus says, I will build my ekklesia. I will build my church. This word means that it is a calling out. It's a calling out. It's the community of the redeemed of Christ, whether being on earth or in heaven or both. A calling out. I will build my church. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, just reading to you. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and what? I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye, the church, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We heard some about that this morning, but different definitions of that word, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Those words stir in my heart joy and worship. To think of the fact who were not a people but are now a people, and I will be a father unto you and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, we have the birth of the, we call the New Testament church, and Peter was preaching at Pentecost. And the church was born, and with many others in verse 40 of Acts chapter 2, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Untoward generation. Untoward means crooked and perverse. It is the Greek word skolios, where we get our word scoliosis. And I don't know if anyone here today is dealing with that infirmity. God bless you if you are. But you know, if you are dealing with it, you know better than myself of the pain and what you're going through with the medical condition of scoliosis. This word untoward means crooked, perverse. We think of a crooked stick. We think of a warped board. We think of a winding road. It is something that is crooked. I'd like to remind you, and I'd like to impress upon our minds that save yourself from this untoward generation. The church is not Okay, let me phrase it this way. The church is a body of crooked people who have been made straight. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And we're now following the straight and narrow. We have been made straight. We're not as a warped board, but we can be used, useful. The church is the body of redeemed souls who have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, Colossians 1 and verse 13. And the burden for myself is being part of the church of Jesus Christ. Does my life give evidence of a life that is redeemed and translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ? If individuals know me to be a crooked person, if individuals know me to be a warped board, then I do harm to the testimony of the church of Jesus Christ. By nature, we are born into the kingdom of darkness. Romans 3, verse 23. We are crooked by nature. By nature, we are unholy and sinful. And Peter gives us the answer to how to be transformed to a new life in Christ. And he gives us the answer to entrance into the church of Jesus Christ. The church. Save yourself from this untoward generation. The church, we said, is a calling out from. Yes, we live in the world, but the church does not produce the actions of the world. So Peter gives us these answers. I'm going to just turn to Acts chapter 2. You can turn there if you care to. There are some two verses I want to read here in Acts chapter 2. In the birth of the church, where Jesus is preaching and he gives these answers. Acts chapter 2 and verses 38 and 39. Verse 37, the audience says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And then Peter says unto them, first, in our saving ourselves from the untoward generation is repent. Number two, and be baptized baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. For why? For the remissions of sins. And then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is to all in verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What I'm endeavoring to teach is that our entrance, the pathway into the church, is repentance. The pathway into the church is by the way of repentance from sin. Now, there are individuals Well, let me say it this way. I believe that repentance from sin, the Bible also teaches baptism into the body. I believe that it is important to become part of the visible body of the church of Jesus Christ. I believe that's important. I believe the Bible teaches that. The church. I will build my church. So we see from the Bible, the Word of God, that the church is the body of redeemed souls who are living a holy, separated life, following the doctrine of the Word of God and applying it to everyday living. According to the teaching of Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus says unto Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. According to this teaching that Jesus told to Peter, he tells the rest of the disciples a very similar thing in Matthew 18 and verse 18 to the disciples gathering around. It is my understanding of these verses that Jesus, in building his church, is granting to the church authority to bind and loose. What does this mean? This phrase is rooted in the legal and religious Jewish tradition. To bind was to prohibit or to forbid, and to loose was to permit or allow. It should be noted that the authority of the church in these matters does not override the will of God. However, as a Bible-believing church of Jesus Christ, binding and loosing must align itself with the already established will of God. And I believe that Jesus has invested into the church has given to his church the authority to bind and loose. The authority to bind and loose. The authority to make present day applications to Bible principle to present day lives. It's present day living. Acts chapter 15 is an example of the New Testament church relating to questions that needed an answer. Jesus said, I will build my church. How is Jesus building his church today? He builds his church today the same that he has done in the past. Number one, how is he building his church today? He is building his church through the power of the living word. Building his church through the power of the living word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Desire the pure milk of the word. Desire the sincere milk of the word. So we can grow. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The seed of the word of God sown in the heart is a powerful force. Powerful force, the seed of the word. Jesus is building. The Bible tells us by the foolishness of preaching. Sometimes I'm amazed it isn't the word that I'm thinking of, but I find it interesting that after I bring a message and talk with people afterwards, they may mention something that stood out to them that really I forgot that I actually said or didn't really think about. It wasn't something, a main point of mine. But the word, the spirit takes it home to the heart of the individual. The word. Jesus is building his church through the power of the living word. Oh, I want to encourage us, and I need this encouragement in my own life. And we'll look at this a little bit more in a bit. but to be a doer of the word. And to be a preacher of the word. To those that I meet, no, not that I'm preaching to everybody. A co-worker of mine was relating to me a few days ago, well, a week or two ago. We were talking about church things, and he goes to a different church than I do, but he loves the Lord. And he was relating to me about how his wife was a part of one of her co-workers coming to Christ and accepting the Lord into her life. And one of the things he told me is that his wife, in relating to her co-worker, it wasn't through preaching to her, to the co-worker, but it was in just daily encouragement and through the co-worker's reading of the word that she began to come to light that there's change that she needs to do. And my friend's wife was there to help her discern the word. And I say that is how, one of the ways that Jesus is building his church, by people who are, through his word. We have the living word, right? The living word. We read it. It is powerful. I want to appeal to you to read God's word. Read God's word personally. Number two, Jesus is building his church today. He is building his church through the lives of faithful followers, and I touched on this some already. Through the lives of faithful followers. The children of God, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. The children of God should live predictable lives. Predictable lives. And it bothers me. And I am not above failure in this. And I'm sure, and I know, that I have disappointed people already in my responses. I have. I am not perfect. And I'm saddened about those times. No doubt you have disappointed people too. But may God help us to not be crooked and perverse, but to be followers of Jesus Christ in building his church through living lives of predictability. You are the light of the world, Matthew 5 tells us. Lives of proper conduct are noticed by the world. Yes, they are. We heard some about that this morning. On the other side of it, the lives of proper conduct are noted by the world. And we all have different personalities, I understand that. The mission of the church is to go out into the world and preach the gospel. John 17, verse 18, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. And the mission of the church is to go out and preach the gospel. To draw others in. Does the life you live give testimony to the words you profess? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. John 13, 35. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye have love. While service is important, having meaningful relationship with God through daily Bible reading and prayer is of greater importance. The airplane safety instructions tell us to put on our own oxygen mask before attempting to help someone else in the event there's a loss of oxygen. The Bible tells us to take care of that beam that's in our own eye. You know, take first take responsibility for personal things. Matthew 16, 24 to 26, if any man will come after me, you know those three, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Characteristics of the untoward generation are opposite of these teachings. I want you to remember it. I would like you to remember it. Today we live in a world of anti-authority and rebellion. It's opposite of deny myself. It's opposite of take up my cross. And it's opposite of follow me. And we struggle with it. We struggle with it. I struggle with it in my own heart. Is it a supernatural end time pressure? I believe it possibly could be. Who is going to tell me what I can do and what I cannot do? I would like to be a part of something where we can just do what's right in our own eyes. I'm not saying that I want to be, but I'm saying that's a tenor of what you might hear. Characteristics of the untoward generation are opposite of denying, taking up the cross, and following. Christ is building his church when his followers in humble obedience surrender their will to his. Charles Spurgeon said this, nobody can do as much damage to the church of God as the man who is within its walls, but not within its life. The man who is within its walls, but not within its life. Number three, Christ is building his church today when the powers of evil are broken. Matthew 16 and verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'd like to encourage us this morning that the gates of hell will not destroy God's church. Jesus declares a promise. Declares a promise. In simple language, Jesus is saying that the powers of the kingdom of Satan will not overpower his church. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, he went about doing good and he went about ministering to the needs of others and setting people free from the power of darkness. And we must remember that in dealing and administering to people, we are not the power. The power is in through Jesus Christ, the powers of God. We are just an instrument. The power is not of us. We lead people, show people where the power is. I'd like to encourage you this morning. If you are in the bondage of a vice, okay, not a shop vice, but it might feel that way, but you're in bondage to an emotional bondage. You're in bondage to a sin of lust of the flesh or whatever it is, and you want to be free, but you're struggling in bondage. I would like to encourage you with the fact that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And there is power to be free. Power to be free. Christ is building his church when the powers of evil are broken. The message of the gospel, let me just read this first of all. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and standing in the synagogue, he read of himself the book of Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The message of the gospel is redemption and reconciliation. And I praise God today that we have the promise that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You see, there are different, the Bible talks about the church in different forms. It talks about it as being the body of Christ. It talks about it as being the temple of God. And we are individual temples of the Holy Ghost. And collectively we are the temple of God. God is living within the lives. We're the temple of God. It's sobering. It's challenging to think of God living with the temple of the Holy Ghost within us. We are the bride of Christ, the church. Fight on, my brother. Fight on, fight on. That thing that does so easily beset you. Jesus Christ can set you free. I don't mean it's not going to be hard work. But Christ is building his church when the powers of evil are broken. And I want to encourage you this morning that it is okay to be okay. What do I mean by that? It's okay to have faith and to believe that Jesus Christ forgives my sin, and that I do not, that I feel that I'm having victory, or that I do not feel as depressed, and maybe I should. Or it's okay to step in victory and rejoice and move on in what God has for me to do. Number four, Christ builds his church through faithful leadership. Christ builds his church through faithful leadership. Acts chapter 20, I'm going to turn there and just read a few verses. Acts chapter 20, 25 to 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. Paul, and now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to remembrance this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I say that Jesus Christ builds his church through faithful leadership. Leadership must take first heed to themselves, for if they be not fed, how shall they feed? The challenge to me, to myself. And we have various responsibilities of leaders that are present here this morning. There are leaders who are fathers. There are leaders who are mothers. There are leaders who are teachers. There are employers here this morning. There are deacons. There are pastors. There are older youth, a big brother, a big sister, were leaders. Faithful leadership. This thought of to feed means to shepherd. One of the greatest responsibilities given to men is the responsibility to shepherd. To shepherd. May God help us to be faithful leaders. Faithful leaders. In conclusion, the greatness of any church, I'm thinking about, you think about the local body of the what we call our church, the church at Providence, church at Chapel, the churches around us. The greatness of any church is not in the greatness of its numbers, but in the presence of God within the hearts. And by it showing forth, and by it, the presence of God in the heart, and by it showing forth to the world the power of a transformed life. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 5, I'm not going to read it, but the psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord." I ask you the question, do you love the church? Yes. The church that you have chosen to be a part of here at Providence. And thinking beyond, the church of Jesus Christ, which connects us with the invisible body. We believe that there are people who are part of God's church that we don't know. We do not know them. But here at Providence, it's God's design that here is a visible body of the church of Jesus Christ, of individuals who have been called out of the world. They're saved themselves from the untoward, the crooked, perverse generation. And they are now called out. Here they gather every Sunday and Wednesday evening. They collect because they love God and they worship Him. And then they go out into the community and they live lives of faithfulness. And the drunkard looks on, and as he learns to know one of the individuals or whatever, whoever it may be, someone who's still in the perverse world, looks on and says, you know, they might not say it right away, but you know, he has something that I don't have. May God bless us. First of all, to be faithful in our lives. And then to be humble enough to help those who ask of the hope that lies within us. Let us kneel to pray.